without a special gift. I can feel your great spirit as you sang that. You may remember that I mentioned to you a few years ago that one of our members during college, who now lives in Huntersville, sold vacuum cleaners door to door. And she learned an important lesson from one of the most experienced salesmen. John specialized in rural areas, and he had a unique technique. He would knock on the door, a person opened the door, he would step in and throw cow manure all over the rug. And then he would say, "If this vacuum cleaner does not clean up your rug, I'll eat that manure." Well, one morning, he was in the North Carolina mountains, and he came up to this farmhouse, knocked on the door, a woman opened the door, he stepped in, threw cow manure all over her rug. He said, "Madam, if this vacuum cleaner will not clean up that rug, I'll eat that cow manure." Well, the woman looked at the manure. She looked at John. She said, "I'll tell you what I'll do, mister. I'll loan you a fork, because we ain't got no power in this house." Our lives are sometimes messes, less than we hoped they would be, because we have no power. We're not enough power, or the wrong kind of power, in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, in our relationships, our workplaces, our schools, our lives, and our futures. Well, today, Jesus offers us power, more than enough power to clean up our messes and bless us in ways that we never could have guessed possible. Jesus does this as he continues his series this winter and into the spring of offering us, pointing us to competing voice choices. And we have to decide which voice will we listen to, which voice will we vote to win the contest for our lives, and we vote yes to one of these competing voice choices by what we think and say and do and desire and decide. Today, Jesus turns our ears and our lives to the competing voice choices in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Jesus has been praying, and obviously his disciples have been watching or listening, because when Jesus finishes praying, they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, they know by what they do here that prayer is essential and important, because throughout all of their time with Jesus, only one time did they ever ask him to teach them anything. He taught them a lot, but only once did they say, "Jesus, teach us." And they say, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Well, Jesus begins his answer with what we call the Lord's Prayer. "Pray like this," he says, "Our Father," and he goes through the Luke version of the Lord's Prayer. Then he reveals to them and to us these voice choices that we have in the way that we pray. And only one of these voice choices will bless us. The other will not. Here's what Jesus says. And I've added at the end one little piece from the Gospel of Matthew, because Matthew and Luke have this same conversation with the disciples. Matthew and Luke end it in a slightly different way, but basically the same way. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on the journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' Suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you," Jesus says, "even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because you are persistent, he will surely get up and give you whatever it is you need. So," Jesus says, "I say to you, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be open. For which of you, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then," Jesus says, "though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, give what is good, to those who ask him? Jesus lays out for us this morning these two voice choices competing for our lives. Persistently hot prayer or lukewarm prayer. And if we pray like Jesus tells us to pray, God will give us the Holy Spirit, he said, will give us what we need, will give us what is good. For if we pray like that, we are saying yes for his voice choices of prayer and prayer lives that are persistently hot. Is that your prayer life? Is your prayer life like that? Do you continually pound on the doors of heaven until heaven opens up and gives you what you need? Is your prayer life like that? Do you keep on pounding and asking and seeking and knocking to open your life to be filled with the Spirit of God himself? And the Bible says to us, you'll know because of the Spirit of God answers your pounding and knocking and asking and seeking. And the Holy Spirit comes into your life. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will give comfort to your heart and peace to your soul. And guide and shine a light on the path of your feet through life. And God will fill your heart with fire. And the Holy Spirit will give your life, will take hold of you. And will give you the superhuman power of God to move those mountains that stand in the way of the marriage and the family and the life that God wants for you and that we want for yourself. Is that what your life is like? If you pray like that, if you experience that, then you're listening to the voice of Jesus that says, pray like that, keep on pounding and asking and seeking and knocking, and the doors of heaven will open for you, Jesus says. But if you find that your prayers and your prayer life are sporadic, erratic, inconsistent, go for stretches of time, virtually non-existent, if your prayers are rote, if you hear yourself saying the same prayers over and over and over again, so that they lose their freshness and their passion and their power to move your life and your relationships to be changed. If you find, you say, I don't have time to pray. Oh, I've heard that. I've heard that from people in here. I just don't have time to pray, we say. If you fall asleep when you're praying, if your mind wanders while you're praying, when your prayers seem like they're always a one-way street, going that way, and not stopping to say, wonder what God wants to say to me about that prayer. When the Holy Spirit has not taken hold of your life, filled you with fire, given comfort to your heart and peace to your soul, and light to your feet, change your life, then you're listening to the voice of lukewarm prayers, tepid, half-hearted, one foot in, one foot out. And do you know who is winning your life when your prayer life and your prayers are lukewarm? It's the devil. It's Satan. And my friend Mike Slaughter called him the enemy. He's the enemy, all right. When he lures you into lukewarm prayers, he loves it. Because then he's able to win this battle for your marriage and your family and your life and your future and your hopes and your dreams. The enemy is winning when your prayers are lukewarm. This is what our voice choice looks like. The one that Jesus wants for us is persistently hot, knocking, pounding, asking, seeking, never giving up. I want this for you, my friends. I want this for you because I have it. My prayer life is persistently hot most of the time except Monday and all but 5 minutes on Sunday. You know why I have this gift? You gave it to me. Because I came here as your pastor, the most important thing a pastor can ever do, not preach these sermons. The most important thing a pastor can ever do is to pray for you, for the power of God to take over your life. I pray for you every day. I have a prayer for each of you. And I keep on pounding and asking and seeking and knocking for my prayers for you to be fulfilled. And my life has been blessed because of you. Moving me from lukewarm or even non-existent to persistently hot. I want that for you. Jesus wants that for you. So Jesus led me to offer you, if this is not your prayer life, if it is not, practical principles for persistently hot prayer to turn you away from the voice of the enemy who lures you to be lukewarm and to turn you to the voice of Jesus who wants you to be persistently hot. The first practical principle for persistently hot prayers is this. Never give up on trusting God. Jesus promises us, he says, you keep on pounding on the door of heaven, you keep on asking and seeking and knocking, Jesus says, and God will, not maybe, possibly, maybe if you do this or that, Jesus says, God will give you what you need. God will give you the Holy Spirit. God will give you what is good. Jesus, a few days after this, in the Gospel of Luke, wants to be sure we get this. So, he tells a parable. And Luke feels it's important to pitch in an introduction so we'll understand this first principle for persistently hot prayer. It's a parable about a widow, a poor widow. He keeps bugging, keeps seeking from this uncaring judge what she needs. And because she is so persistent, he finally gives it. So here's how Luke introduces it. Quote, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray, come, and never give up. You and I, we actually have a modern day parable. Jimmy's going to have to forgive me for this, and here it is. Keep on pounding. Keep pounding. Now, we use this in a very secular way to get the crowd fired up and hope that the defense can somehow stuff Russell Wilson, that sly guy that flips around. But that's not how this came about. This came about because one of the greatest linebackers that ever played for the Panthers, Sam Mills, was struggling and fighting with cancer. And this was his mantra. He asked people to keep on pounding in prayer for him to fight this battle that he was fighting with him. And that young man that's up there, that's hitting that keep on pounding drum, he's fighting that same battle. Yeah, maybe he's calling for the Panthers to step up. But what he's really calling for is for us to keep on pounding for him, pounding on the gates of heaven, to give him what he needs and what is good. Jesus urges us to never give up in trusting God and his love for us. And I tell you, my friends, that's true. It'll happen. I've experienced it here. When I pray for you and never give up on what God can do in your life, I have seen marriages saved. I've seen families brought back together. I've seen young people pulled away from the brink of disaster in their lives. And I've seen the Holy Spirit go to work in some of your lives in ways that you never would have guessed possible. My friends, I don't give up on you, and I don't give up on God, what God can do in your life and mine. Bob Schindler shared with us a few months ago how he prayed for 30 years for his father, never giving up on trusting God, until finally his father gave in and gave his life to Jesus. Well, I want to remind you of what persistently hot prayer can do, even in the short term. I shared this with you 3 years ago, and I want to share this with you again, because I heard it once in a workshop, and I have never forgotten it. This is emblazoned in my mind almost word for word. Richard Foster is one of the leading prayers, experts, and givers of prayer in our country. And he shared this story in a workshop about how this came home for him when he had just become a professor at the university, and one of the students there was Marie. Marie, like a lot of young freshmen, drank too much. On the way home from a party, on the way to her dorm, she tripped, fell, and hit her head on a concrete curb. She was in the ICU. Richard happened to be in the hospital that night visiting somebody. He heard about what had happened. He went to her bedside. About that time, the college chaplain and a pastor showed up. The college chaplain just said, well, this is what happens when these young people make these stupid decisions. And the pastor prayed this pedestrian, perfunctory, predictable, lukewarm prayer, Lord, let your will be done for Marie. Amen. And they left. Richard was disgusted with his lukewarm prayer. So when the family and friends arrived, he said, my friends, I urge you to pray that Marie will be healed, and don't you for 1 minute give up on the fact that God can heal your daughter and your friend. I urge you every moment of every day to bathe Marie in prayer, and as you pray, watch her walking out of this room healed. So for 3 days, 72 hours, in rotating, friends and family prayed for Marie, for her to be healed and to get up and walk out of that place. And right about the end of the third day, while her parents were praying for her, Marie woke up, and 1 week later she walked out, and the doctors could not explain it. Well, this is persistently hot prayer. Never giving up. Never giving up on trusting God and what God can do in our lives. Not just in a crisis, not just in a hospital room, but every day. Praying, asking, seeking, pounding, knocking, seeking. For God to give you what you need, to give you what is good, to fill your life with His Spirit, to be healed and saved and changed. What God gives us, and the time in which He gives it to us, however, is not necessarily what we pray for. But God will, in His time and His way, give us what we need, what is good, and give us that gift of the Holy Spirit and His power. So I shared with you last week, Sally and I do not know whether her cancer has been cured or will be cured. But this we know, that because we have been persistently hot in our prayers for her healing, and so have you, she has been healed and so have I. We have been given that gift of the Holy Spirit, which is good, and what we need, which is courage and strength and peace. And my notes on the floor. See how God works? He said, man, why don't you just go on your own? That's what you're doing so far. He's given us that courage and that strength and that peace and that power that we need. And in face of what we are facing, it is only by the power of God that we could be at peace. And if you pray persistently hot prayers for God to give you what you need and what is good, and the Holy Spirit, no matter what you face, He'll do the same for you. However, this first practical principle of persistently hot prayer will be totally ineffective without the second, which is this: to live the Word of God that moves you to move prayer into your life. Luke focuses on the fact that when we pray persistently hot prayers, that God will give us the Holy Spirit. Why does He do that? Why does He focus on that? The reason is the Holy Spirit is the power that opens the Word of God to us and tells us how we are to live so that God can give us what is good through His Word. And so it is only through the Holy Spirit that we receive the Word and are empowered to live the Word. Luke wants to be sure we understand that praying is also about living. And just to make this clear, Jesus emphasizes this principle. Shortly thereafter, about a minute or two after He finishes this lesson, a woman says, "Blessed is the woman who gave birth to you." And Jesus says, "Rather, blessed is the one who hears God's word and obeys it." And in Matthew, just as He finishes, "And God will give you what is good," same paragraph, immediately thereafter, Matthew says, "So, therefore, do for others as you would have them do for you." For that is what God wants for your life. But Matthew and Luke are telling us that we pray, but then our prayer needs to turn into action. My friends, prayer without God's Spirit-guided word into action is lukewarm and it is half-hearted. You see, we want what we want. But if we're praying lukewarm prayers, we're not willing to do what God wants us to do to receive what He wants for us. You see, we like this coffee mug here. Oh yeah. Prayer changes everything. Y'all probably even have one of those, right? We like that. Prayer changes everything. Not so. Because in those words there, there is a danger that we believe that's all there is to it. Here's what we really need. Different prayer mug. We need to change that prayer changes everything to prayer changes us. Because, my friends, unless we are changed, the circumstances and people in our lives will not be changed either. So, you will know when you are listening and living a prayer life of lukewarm prayer, when we pray for God to change the bad behavior and the bad decisions of our children, but we as parents do not set the example of the behavior and the decisions that we pray for. We pray for better health and less stress, but we're unwilling to eat the food and get the exercise and get the rest that it would take to receive what we pray for. We pray some of our students to get into a certain college, and some of us pray for this wonderful career, but we're not willing to make the effort to do what it takes to make that happen. We pray for this church to grow and for someone we know to give their life to Jesus, but we're not willing to take the time to develop that relationship of trust that someday can open the door to open the invitation. We pray for God to get rid of some unhealthy habit and some deadly addiction in our lives, but we are too prideful or too ashamed or too self-reliant to confess it and get the help we need. And without getting the help we need, no unhealthy habit or deadly addiction will ever be broken. We pray for our marriages to be healed, to be alive again. But we are not willing to give the kindness and the forgiveness and the respect that it takes to tear down the barriers and build a new bridge to a new life. When we pray but do not do, my friends, we are listening to the enemy. And worse, when it doesn't turn out like we want, this lukewarm praying but not doing prayer, we blame it on God. Sometimes we even turn away from God and say, well, that prayer stuff, it doesn't work. I'm giving up on God. And the enemy is dancing a dance of joy. Do you want, my friends, to listen to the enemy and have a lukewarm prayer life? Do you want to believe that we can have changes in our life by praying but not doing? Or do you want to listen to Jesus and pray persistently, not only for what we want and need, but then to do what God's Word leads us to do so that in fact God can actually change your life, to change those things in your life that you want to be different. Now, friends, I just urge you not just to pray, but to pray for the Holy Spirit to lead you to be changed yourself in how you live so that your life can indeed receive the good that God promises you. Which brings us to the third and last practical principle of persistently hot prayer. Let a prayer warrior, my friends, go to war for you to lead you to keep pounding and keep trusting God to lead you to do what God's prayer-given spirit guides you to do. Persistently hot prayer can never make it on its own. Now, right here, I have one of these asterisks on my page. And the reason I do this, I want to share this last thing with you, is because Jesus clearly told me to do this. Promise you. So I'm going to close with a story that may cause some of you to tune out, some of you to turn off. Some of you are going to tune out because you've heard this story. A lot of you already have. And you're going to say, I don't need to hear this again. I get it. Some of you are going to turn off. You say, I don't like that. I don't think we ought to have that kind of stuff in church. But I don't care. That's pretty much my attitude most of the time up here. You get what you get, brothers and sisters. And so, I'm going to share this with you today, this story, because it is the inspiration for this message and the inspiration for my saying to you this morning, I want my prayer life to take off on fire for you even more. So the story is, as many of you know, the movie The War Room, right? Great story. It begins with the Jordan family, and Liz is the mother and wife, and she's a real estate agent. And Tony is her husband and the father, and he works in the pharmaceutical industry, selling pharmaceuticals. And Danielle is their daughter. Their marriage is falling apart. They are constantly criticizing. There's a lot of tension. They're yelling at each other. They're dividing. They're pretty much living apart in the same house. Well, Liz goes to see Miss Clara, who is a widow. She's going to try to sell her house. At the first meeting, they chat a little bit, and then Miss Clara says, you know, Liz, I'd like for you to come back and have a cup of coffee with me. So Liz comes back. They have a cup of coffee, and the subject turns to prayer. Now,
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Now, I ran a sales report from the area. Wrote down the suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God, just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee.
So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need
it. Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
Okay, so, y'all okay with this so far? Okay, good. So, Miss Clara begins talking to Liz, and she takes her in and shows her her war room, which is a closet. closet is filled with Bible verses and the names and things that she prays for. And she urges Liz to move from this lukewarm, enemy-infested prayer life to persistently hot prayer. To realize that the devil, the enemy, has gotten hold of her life and Tony's life and her family's life and her marriage's life. She urges Liz to pray for what God guides her to do to change her life, to drive the devil out. Bring God in. So Liz does it. She cleans out her closet, builds a war room, begins reading the Bible and praying for the Holy Spirit to tell her Liz what she's to pray about. She plasters the walls with the scriptures and then begins to put on the walls the things that God is leading her to pray for. She prays for God to give her the power to drive the enemy out. The sidelines, what's going on, and Miss Clara is praying for her. She has become a prayer warrior for Liz. And what happens is that Liz then, as she moves from lukewarm to persistently hot, she begins to receive that gift that Luke talks about, that Holy Spirit comes into her with fire and with power. And here's what happens. That night, Liz gets a text from a friend. I see Tony at this restaurant. He's with a woman. It sure doesn't look like business. So Liz goes to her war room. She keeps pounding and praying and asking and knocking for God to protect Tony, protect their marriage and their family. Tony is tempted to go with this woman. But all of a sudden, this great feeling overwhelms him. He actually gets sick. He doesn't go. When he comes home, he walks to their bedroom and he sees the text. He knows that Liz knows what's been going on in his life. But he's shocked when he walks into the kitchen. She says nothing about it. She treats him with kindness and respect. She responds that night and over the next few days to his harsh words, his unkind words, seeming unfeeling words, angry words, with kindness, gentleness, and in her heart, compassion and forgiveness. She's hearing God's word for her life. Liz is changing. Well, Tony gets fired from his job. because he's been padding his sales figures and they find out about it. He tells Liz she doesn't judge him. She doesn't criticize him. She encourages them. Tony, we can make it. We can manage. Somewhere about that same day when she's not there, he discovers the war room. He sees her prayers for him. And he is driven to his knees, begging God's forgiveness. He goes from lukewarm and no prayer to persistently hot, please God, set me free, let me be forgiven, and start again. He confesses everything to Liz. She forgives him and asks for his forgiveness for the way that she has treated him. He goes and asks and receives forgiveness from Danielle for the father that he has not been. Together, they become a new family, a family that gathers every day for persistently hot prayers, letting the Holy Spirit open their lives of this family to God's Word to guide their steps, change their lives. A family that has thrown the enemy out, sent him to hell where he belongs, because there's a new one in charge, Jesus. And they open the door for him, throw the enemy out, and bring him in with persistently hot prayer. Miss Clara, the prayer warrior who made this happen, rejoices that her prayers have been heard and answered, then prays for all of us, my friends, to be moved from lukewarm prayer to persistently hot prayer, to throw the enemy out of our lives and let Jesus come in and take over, not just one day in a crisis, but every day and in every way, to change our lives. Starting with us. And then Miss Clara offers a prayer for all of us.
You've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are good and you are mighty and you are merciful. And you keep taking care of me when I don't deserve it. Praise you, Jesus. You are Lord. Give me another one, Lord. Guide me to who you want me to be. Raise up more that will call upon your name. Raise up those that love you and seek you and trust you. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. Lord, we need a generation of believers who are not ashamed of the gospel. We need an army of believers, Lord, to be lukewarm and will stand on your word above all else. Raise them up, Lord. Raise them up. I pray for unity among those that love you. I pray that you open their eyes so that they can see your truth, Lord. I pray for your hand of protection and guidance. Raise up a generation, Lord, that will take light into this world, that will not compromise when under pressure, that will not cower, Lord, when others fall away. Raise them up, Lord, that they will proclaim that there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ.
you.